thing that's supposed to be on here tonight has been talked over. They have been discussed, and agreements have been signed in that effect. Thus we shall expect them not to violate any of the rules of legal law. One of the rules that should especially be kept in mind is that no disputant shall present new material unless his opponent has the privilege of replying to it. And if that is done, we will have to consider the debate out of order. Until it gets back in order, well then, we will consider it out of order. Really, it's fair for the opponent to come up with for the student to come up, and the opponent has no chance to reply and present a new argument. So we want to make that clear tonight. That should happen, and we're going to have to stop the debate until it gets an order. I've always entertained the idea that a debate of this kind or a discussion of this kind can be productive of much good if we conduct ourselves in an orderly manner.
That's right. That's all right.
In order for the maximum amount of good to be obtained from a discussion of this kind, the audience must follow certain rules also. And only are we asking that the students follow their rules that they have agreed upon. We're asking this audience to follow certain rules. We're going to ask that each one refrain from any kind of oral outburst.
Amen.
Try to control your emotions this evening. I know that it's certainly that somewhat the emotion will run a little high in the discussion, but we're going to ask that you hold them in check, control them. Let the disputants do the debate. Please do not, under any circumstance, engage in a discussion or dispute among yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That will not be permitted. We'll have to stop the debate until we can get on. May I reiterate, please do not engage in a dispute among yourselves. Now, the moderator for Dr. Kevin's group is Mr. Mitchell. I don't know what he will have anything to say. I think he has told me that he may have about a minute or so to say something. Now, this is a proposition. Resolve that the scriptures teach that baptism in literal water of the penitent believer is essential to his salvation and this present dispensation of grace from past faith. Brother Hogan's is in the affirmative. He believes that water, literal water, as the proposition he says here, a penitent believer, is essential to his salvation. He's saying, yes, that's true, that's right. And he's going to attempt to prove that. He's going to prove that this evening. Dr. Kelly is in the negative on that, and he's saying, no, that isn't true. One does not have to be baptized in water be saved. I'm paraphrasing that somewhat. Bring me right down there. And at this time, we're going to turn the rostrum over to Mr. Mitchell, just without to have just one word or so. I'd like to say this now that Brother Baggers and the gentleman from Allen, Dr. Allen, I believe you addressed yourself as Dr. Allen, they're going to be the timekeepers. Mr. Mitchell and myself will be the moderators. There will be 2 45-minute speeches each, and Brother Hogan and Mr. Kelly. And there will be a 30-minute rebuttal. Mr. Mitchell?
There were just 2 things that were on my mind that I may make as an opening address as one of the moderators for this evening. I want to set your minds at ease right away. Brother Perkins and I are in complete harmony, in complete accord, on what we are to do, what our responsibilities are, for our moderator for this evening, and we will carry those out. I think another thing I'd like to express right now is this. And Dr. Perkins has already stated. Now, as you can see, I'm a Caucasian. A white man, as some people look at me. But I didn't come down here this evening to be in a Negro congregation. This this thing to me is gone past what I see in a man as far as color or flesh. This debate tonight is a very serious thing to me. Because Dr. Perkins and I hope everybody else here this evening will recognize that, as Isaiah said, knowledge and wisdom shall be the stability of the times. It shall be the strength of salvation. We've come here to listen this evening to two gentlemen expound knowledge of God, the strength of salvation. To me, that surpasses everything else. So, consequently, I'm here to learn in all humility of my God. And I trust that not only the members of the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research that are present, but anybody else will be this evening believing in God, as we all should do 24 hours a day, to conduct ourselves as ambassadors of Christ. I think you all agree with me, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I don't think that's too much to ask of any of us if we believe in God.
Affirmative, come before us for this first part of the discussion. Father, it has been requested that we ask the patient orders that each disputant announce his name when he began. Yes, by the main order, if you want to take the time to do that, answer the question. No.
Marion Hogan. Honorable moderators. I'm aware of their opponent. Brethren, sisters, ladies, gentlemen, and friends. I count myself happy to have the privilege of affirming the proposition that has been read in your hearing. I affirm this proposition because I believe my affirmation is true and right. It is requested of a beta to define his proposition well. Make it clear that there'll be no misunderstanding.
All right.
Connected with the proposition or with what he is affirming or denying. It has been read, resolved that the scriptures teach. By scriptures, I simply mean the Old and New Testament. There are 66 books of the Bible, 39 of which is in the Old and 27 in the New. By teach, I simply mean set forth either by direct command, precept, example, or necessary input. That baptism, I simply mean a dipping. Baptism just simply means dip, plunge, overwhelm, or immerse. And literal, by literal I simply means natural water, that which can be seen and handled. Or the penitent, a penitent I mean one who has turned from a wicked pursuit of life. Believer, one who has heard the word of God, and the Bible teaches faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And he has heard God's word and therefore believes it. The essential I mean is necessary. This present dispensation of grace, the Bible teaches that the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's the dispensation in which we now live. From past or alien sins, I mean the sins that he committed before baptism, before being born into God's family, becoming a citizen of God's government upon earth. Sins, I mean those transgressions of God saw sin in the transgression of the law, and those transgressions he transgressed before, submitting the heaven's will to get rid of. I hope that's clear. I hope you understand the proposition well. Now, we shall go on with our part of discussion. I'm going to call attention to this proposition again and proceed. Resolve that the Scriptures teach that baptism in mineral water of the penitent believer is essential to his salvation in this present dispensation of grace from past or alien sin. The first thing I wish to call attention to is the fact that Ephesians 4 and 5, we are taught there is one baptism. I want to drive that point home. This is about A.D. 64, about 23 years after the last record of Holy Ghost baptism. Paul said, guided by the Holy Spirit, to the brethren of Ephesus, there is one baptism. Now, if the Holy Spirit teaching is right, two would be too many, or more than one would be too many. He said there is one baptism. If it is Holy Ghost baptism, then it is neither fire nor water. If it is fire baptism, then it is neither water nor Holy Ghost. If it is water baptism, then it is neither Holy Ghost nor fire. For the Bible says there is one. So, we'll keep that in mind. I'm glad that I have what I esteem to be a worthy opponent. As I understand it, he has a D.D. and a Ph.D. degree. Therefore, I say a worthy one because I don't have to be going around trying to make a man with such outstanding education understand simple language. So now, since he said there is one, then it's up to us to find out what that one baptism is. But remember, he said there is one. Well, I raise the question, since I'm in the affirmative, what is it? That same apostle, by the same Spirit, to the same church, in the same book, just the next chapter, says it is what? Ephesians 5 and 25. He said there is one baptism. And we're going to find out from this same apostle, by the same Spirit, what that one baptism is. Ephesians 5 and 25. Read it, sir.
Husbands, love your wife.
Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse him
with the washing of
water by the word.
That he might present it.
That's all I wanted to know. Well, you're not sanctifying the church. There's one baptism. And the apostle said that Christ gave himself, if you please, for the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say just a little bit about water. Now, when literal water, natural water, that water you can see, he simply says water. But when spiritual water, when he's speaking metaphorically, if any other water is referred to, it is plainly pointed out. When spiritual water is involved, it's so pointed out by the word living water or water of life. And I challenge my opponent to read one place or give one scripture here where the Lord has ever commanded anybody at any time to be baptized in living water or water of life. Living water, water of life is in the person. That water is in the person. But when it comes to being baptized, you put the person in the water. Now, that's different than a person being the water and the water being in him. I want to get that one baptism. Get it before you clear. So you may know that even my opponent will have to agree that there's one, said the Holy Spirit made a mistake when he said there's one through the Apostle Paul. Now, our subject, the commission baptism is not an Old Testament subject. Did you hear what I said? The commission baptism, as given by Christ in Matthew 28:19, is not an Old Testament subject. Some people try to impress us that it's an Old Testament subject, and it is nailed to the cross, associated with carnal ordinances, and nailed to the cross when Christ died. Well, bless your heart, this baptism, the commission baptism, could not have been nailed to the cross because it was given after the cross. And after Christ died on the cross when he gave the orders to go teach and baptize. So, we find, ladies and gentlemen, that after Christ got up from the grave, he appeared unto the disciples, declared that all authority had been given unto him, and told them to go teach and baptize. Here's the point I want you to get. Christ told his disciples in Matthew 20:19, read it, we want to read it.
Go ye therefore,
for what reason? Therefore, means for this reason. He had justified in 18th verse, according from the American standard, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore,
and teach all nations,
baptizing them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to affirm that is water baptism. Why? You see, my opponent doesn't believe that is water baptism. My opponent, because water baptism is mentioned, because he didn't say water yet, he decided that that is another baptism. What I said is water. Why do you say it, Hogan? Because the Lord commanded his disciples to administer. I challenge my opponent. Read from God's word of any other baptism that the disciples can administer. The only baptism the disciple of men can administer is water. Christ was the administrator of Holy Spirit baptism. Christ will be administrator of fire baptism. The only baptism a man can administer is water, and Christ told him to go teach and baptize. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit. In the name, simply means by the authority, and preaching in Christ's name is not baptizing. Preaching is one thing, and baptizing is another. You baptize a person as a result of preaching. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, go ye unto all of us, preach the gospel to every creature that believeth and is baptized, shall be saved. My proposition that I'm affirming is that baptism in literal water of a penitent believer, this dispensation of grace is essential to his salvation from past ages. Jesus said he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the commission baptism. This is only Mark's record of it. Matthew said, go teach and baptize, giving men the orders to baptize. So Jesus made baptism a condition of salvation. Either by the Holy Spirit commanded baptism and Thomas the gift of the Holy Spirit after repentance and baptism. Two things. That's too bad English.
And then Peter said unto
them. Now this is one reason I know it was the Holy Ghost back then. Now Peter breaks to them. He started the 22nd verse and come on down. David as the fourth verse, then he began to speak as the Spirit gave utterance. So Peter preached the gospel unto them. No conviction to their heart. Because the Bible said when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. Into their heart, in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here comes the answer.
Then Peter said unto them,
Repent and be baptized. This is a command. Holy Spirit baptism never was a command. I challenge my opponent to read any place in the Bible why Holy Ghost baptism was ever commanded. Holy Ghost baptism was a promise. The fire baptism was a fact. The only baptism commanded is water baptism. Find another baptism command. All right, what did he say?
Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized.
Every one of you in the name means by the authority. You go down to the local bank and get a check cashed in my name, that's by my authority, out of jail you go. Police come in here and ask you in the name of the Lord, that's by the authority. So Peter told them, repent, be baptized in the name of by the authority of Jesus Christ.
For remission of sin.
Oh, the remission. Remission means the castle fall out of the way. Oh, I'm affirming this proposition. In order to his salvation from ties of agency. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy
Spirit. Here comes the Holy Spirit. After they have obeyed the command. What is the command? Repent and be baptized. What is the promise of the result? You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. After baptism, the gift. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the command was to be baptized. The promise. Remission of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that is water baptism because it is commanded. Only way in the world, ladies and gentlemen, that my opponent can get around that is to get up and say that the Holy Spirit baptism was commanded because he believes in Holy Ghost baptism. He teaches it. In fact, he teaches two baptisms. He teaches baptism in the name of preaching the gospel in the name of baptizing people. I know he's not going to deny it because I have his book right there. And I got to pray tomorrow. Yes, sir, you preaching, you're baptizing it. Well, if you're baptized, then you get a baptism of the Holy Spirit. He just keeps the Holy Spirit right now. He has two, and the Bible says there's one. Preaching is baptism, never has been, and never will be. Preaching is done to get people to submit to baptism. Come in on that. Philip preached the kingdom of God. And the name of Jesus Christ, and the believers were baptized. That's Acts 8:12 will be all right, brother.
When they believed Philip.
When they believed Philip.
Preaching the faith of Christ, the kingdom of God.
And the name of Jesus Christ.
They were baptized.
Both men and women. I raise the question, what kind of baptism was that? It couldn't have been Holy Ghost baptism. Because they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. The apostles had to come down to Jerusalem and lay their hands on them. In order that they receive the Holy Ghost. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a statement here. I'll guarantee you this statement will stand the advocate. I'm going to say it's all right to make as long as you can back them up for the Bible. And you know, here's what it is. The Holy Spirit never was miraculously given, without the presence of an apostle. I challenge my partner to find any place where the Holy Ghost was miraculously given without the presence of an apostle. That's the reason I know he isn't baptized with no apostle yet. Even to lay his hands on it, they might receive a miraculous measure of it. But I'm going to let that stand in here. The miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, came by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And no other way. Laying on the apostles' hand after the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and at the house of Cornelius. We're going to study both of those very soon. If it's advanced by my appointed here, God. But Philip preached the name of Christ. They were baptized men and women. Hence it could not have been Holy Ghost baptism because they didn't receive the Holy Ghost before the apostles heard about their being baptized Master Philip and sent Peter and John unto them. Even my pointer will tell us what kind of baptism it was that they got before they received the Holy Ghost. If it wasn't baptism, then it's up to him to tell us what that baptism was. We'll wait and see if he tells us. He couldn't say Holy Ghost baptism because he hadn't received. Why, well, over that 8th chapter, are you still there? All right. Read down there, if you please, about the 14th verse.
Now, when the apostles
went to Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they said unto them, Peter and John,
and they will come down, pray for them,
that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Why? For yet he was called upon many of them. And so then it couldn't have been Holy Ghost baptism. He'll tell us what kind of baptism. We asked him to tell us what kind of baptism was that. Well, let us see. God did the preaching, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. 6 chapter back, even when he was selected as a deacon, before he became an elder, he was selected a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was guided by the Holy Ghost. And suddenly, come to baptism, he wouldn't baptize one group one way and then go right down and baptize someone else another way. So Philip, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, baptized the man of Ethiopia in one. I wonder if the Holy Ghost made a mistake. Don't come telling me that Philip made a mistake. Because Philip was under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit told him, go there and join yourself to the church. You look preaching, if you please, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He preached to that man, Jesus. If they went on their way, they came to say, water! And you would say, see? That's literal water. That's the kind you can see. See, I'm so glad he's asking. What to do with my opponent got there and said that is spiritual water. This is why you can see. What does him mean baptized? My opponent said, oh, there's no devil water. That's any way to get down. Why, they nailed the Christ, nailed that to the cross long ago. He had the Holy Spirit guided, and the Spirit didn't tell him what my opponent would do. Why I say it would, because I know he'd do it. I had his book. I always like to have these fellows' books. I have it here. What seemed like the Holy Spirit overlooked and experienced it. He didn't say, oh, there's nothing to water that business. It'll have nothing to do with your salvation. Did it say that? Luke Phillips said, if thou believe it with all thy heart, thou may. My subject that I'm a parent is the penitent believer. Here's a man who is a believer when he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They commanded the child to stand still. Both got out of the chariot. I'll read that.
And he commanded the chariot.
Commanded the chariot this time.
And they both went down into the water.
Oh. Didn't need that for Holy Ghost baptism. They both went down into the water. But what kind of water was it? It was the water they could see. And you would say, see? It is. Both went down into the water. They both, the old cheese, went down into the water.
Which things also we speak.
Not
not in the words which man's wisdom teaches.
Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches.
But which the Holy Ghost teaches.
Which is the Holy Ghost teaches. Don't you know the Holy Ghost is a teacher? If I can get my body to submit to the teaching of the Holy Ghost, I'll be baptized tonight. In water and for the remission of his sins. We'll do that. He teaches. No one, he said, by one spirit. All baptized into one body. I said, this doesn't teach that the Spirit is the enemy. The Holy Spirit is God. John 16 and 13 is God, you know, truth. And John 14, 26. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I've said of you. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, those Corinthians were baptized by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. About 3,000 on the day of Pentecost was baptized by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they had the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The one baptism is the burial and the resurrection. That's a water baptism. There's no such thing as a burial and a resurrection where Holy Ghost baptism is concerned. It is the form of Christ's burial and resurrection. It's bound to be obeyed. Romans 6, 17. God be thanked, you were the servant of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Being then, and then means when. Being then made free from sin. When are they made free from sin? When they've obeyed. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we understand that by one spirit we are led by the one spirit. We are baptized by the one spirit, which is the teaching of the Spirit. And Galatians 5 and 18. Let's go over there and get that right quick. And then Romans 8 and 14. Come out by one spirit. You want to know what by one spirit means? Not Holy Ghost baptism. It's by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who was to guide and to teach his servants all things. Therefore, read.
But if ye be led of the Spirit.
But if ye be led of the Spirit. That's all right. So you're led by, not baptized by him. Ye be led by the Spirit. This is by the Spirit too. You were baptized by one Spirit, you're baptized with one body. You're led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says what?
For as many as are led by the Spirit.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God.
They are the sons of
God. So that by one Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 does refer to Holy Ghost baptism. Spirit instructs. Jeremiah 9 and 20. Testified by the Spirit of the prophet in Jeremiah 9 and 30. The prophets were moved by the Spirit. I'm trying to get you to understand what by the Spirit means. All right. And in 2 Peter 1, 19 and 20, we find, ladies and gentlemen, that the preaching was done with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The apostle preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now, let us hurry on because time is right for the passage. We find, I think that's enough, respecting by the Holy Spirit. We'll wait God's point of going over to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and we'll bring the rest to you. Ladies and gentlemen, the next argument I want to bring to you is the fact that Christ was baptized, and the argument that Christ was baptized by everyone. Everyone, rather, was baptized when Christ was baptized. Otherwise, Christ is baptized to you and me. We don't have to be baptized in water because Christ did. Sure, he did it. But he didn't do it for you or me. He died and did it to fulfill all righteousness. He came to do his Father's will. And his Father had commanded baptism. He sent John to baptize. And Christ was baptized, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, all of God's commandments are righteousness. 119, hear you the Psalms, 172nd verse. Christ fulfilled all of God's commands. And one of his commands, we said, was baptism, John 1 and 33. Christ did not say, it becomes me to fulfill all righteousness, but thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. The us refers to Jesus and John. Why didn't Jesus command the disciples to teach and baptize? Why did he do that if John had already baptized everybody? Now, that's a teaching. When John baptized Christ to fulfill all righteousness, present generation and generation to come. Well, if Jesus didn't tell everybody,
I wonder why he commanded it.
Why did he command baptism after John had baptized? Then John did the baptizing. Then why didn't Jesus tell his disciples, you go teach? All right, but don't baptize anybody because John has already done that when he baptized me. And that's too ridiculous to go out to push any farther.
Well, if everybody was baptized when John baptized you, what about those who rejected John's baptism?
Get to Luke 7:6. Luke 7:6. To fulfill such a means, to perform, to complete, to adhere to the terms of, to carry out, to execute, to put into effect, to measure up to. And since the Master of God had sent John to baptize, it is a righteous thing because God ordered John to do it, and Jesus simply fulfilled all rights when he come to the thing that God had commanded even when he come to baptism. After John had baptized him, he commanded baptism, commanded others to baptize, as we put on. All right, let's read that.
But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel.
But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves,
being
not baptized of John. Now the Bible says there were some that didn't submit to John's baptism. Well, John baptized Jesus. But this book said they were not baptized of John. Well, now they said John doesn't become us to fulfill our righteousness. So when John baptized Jesus, he baptized everybody else. But this Bible said,
Pharisees
and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized. Why, Luke said that just isn't true. Because, yes, some wouldn't submit to John the Baptist. And they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. In the confession of the household of Cornelius, Peter was guided by, here's another, by the Spirit. He was guided by the Spirit. On the John 16:13, Acts 10:19-20. I want you to read that. And also 1 Peter 1:11-12. Don't bother about that. We'll get to that later. Read Acts 10:19-20, though.
While Peter thought on the vision,
the Spirit said unto him,
Behold, three men seek thee.
Arise thou and get thee down and go with them. Who said that? The Spirit told him. Peter was under the guide of the Holy Spirit. He went and he marched by the orders of the Spirit. Jesus had told him, as the Spirit, when he come, he'll guide you in all the truth. So he was guided by the Spirit. Peter commanded them to be baptized by the authority of the Lord. Acts 10:48.
And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
This is one thing I want you to get. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts and the 14th verse, he says, he shall tell thee word, why thou, about which thou and all thy house shall be saved. What did Peter tell them?
And he commanded them to be baptized.
In the name of the Lord. I tell you, the only baptism commanded is water baptism. Didn't he say he commanded them to be baptized?
He commanded.
I said, why? Because it's commanded. Let me prove it. Back up to the 747 verse.
Can any man forbid water?
Oh, bless you. Can any man forbid water?
excuse me, but brethren, thou there with him for his own protection. And you Jews that don't have any dealing with the Gentiles, unlawful thing to go on and keep company with him, one of another nation. Now can you forbid why? Hell of God has convinced us that the Gentiles are second because he gave them the same message of the Holy Spirit as did us, who believed in the beginning. Now can any man forbid what? Can you object to why? That these should not be baptized? No water. That's Holy Ghost baptism. And the verse where it says he commanded him to be baptized. That's water baptism. All right. Let me go on. So, we have, ladies and gentlemen, Peter commanded by the authority of the Lord. He commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hence, it is by the authority of the Lord. It's the Lord who authorized it. It's the Lord who told him to go teach him baptized. Which is why baptism was called the command. Let me ask, who can forbid water? Those that were with him were convinced because the Lord had proven to them that they were accepted. Was this a mistake? Did the Holy Spirit guide the apostles in a mistake? Remember now the words of the Lord, how he said John baptized with water means Peter had forgotten it. Then the rest of the verse, but ye shall be baptized the Holy Ghost, was also forgotten by him, for he remembered both. Cornelius had already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Peter commanded him to be baptized. Now baptism, if you will, is the burial and the resurrection. If this is Holy Spirit baptism, then when resurrected, you're not in it. And if not in it, you don't have it. And if you don't have it, you're none of his. Romans 8 and 9. Because the baptism called for burial and a resurrection. You're buried in it, you're raised out of it. And if you're raised out of it, you don't have it, you're none of his. We're not going to discuss because we don't have the time. The circumcision of the flesh. By man's hand, under the old law, but the circumcision of Christ, which is our hand, is in baptism performed by God as a New Testament ordinance started after the cross. Baptism is commanded by Christ, performed by His Holy Spirit. The operation is done by God in putting away sin in baptism. Colossians 2, 11, 12, and 13. Now, one of the most ridiculous arguments that I've ever heard presented by man is the argument that the baptism has to do with the water that we read about in the 7th chapter of the book of John. I want you to go back to 7th chapter of the book of John, and I just want you to just study with me that chapter. I want you to see just how ridiculous such a contention is. And I know that is the contention because I haven't learned it. All right, and I'm sure we'll hear about the doctor when he comes with his arm. Let's read the 38th verse.
He that believeth on me,
as the scripture has said,
out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
I tell you, when he speaks of spiritual water, it's in water. Now, do you mean to tell me, that statement is in me? The man is without baptism. That men are to receive. The baptism that's mentioned here out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then we'll be baptized in the water that flows out of the belly of those who believe in Christ. 5 minutes. Thank you very kindly, sir. All right. What's about the reform?
Because he was
talking about the Holy Spirit, not water. All right, they preach by the authority of the Holy Spirit. One thought I want to leave, and I want to put this here, so I'm going to point it while we'll travel with it. John 3:5, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say, the exact man is born of water out of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit." That's
that's not Holy Ghost baptism. He's born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit is the teacher. Let me tell you, those who surrender to the teaching of the Holy Spirit will go into little water and be baptized upon this teaching. Acts 2 and 38. Oh, then, I want to leave that with you. And another, because I want to leave a plenty for my appointed to discuss. In Hebrews 10 and 25, let us draw near with a true heart and put a chunk of faith, having of a heart, sprinkling the conscience, body washed. Pure water. Pure water. All right. I went into battle with that when it comes. Titus 3, 5, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of the Spirit, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Follow them. And washing the water by the word, Ephesians 5 and 25. Paul, Ananias told Saul, five times by rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's a command. Water baptism, the washing, ladies and gentlemen, is a water. All right. Coming on now. Then we have also John, as we said in John 3, 5, we have Nicodemus thinking it is physical birth, but Jesus gave him understanding. He's talking about not that which is of the flesh, but he gave him understand that this had to do with the entrance into the kingdom. The kingdom hadn't been established, but Christ is given a condition of entrance into the kingdom. Let me tell you, I know, ladies and gentlemen, will our testaments are forced after the other dead, but let me tell you, he's got to make our will before he dies. Christ, when he said a thing, it'll stand. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. And he told him that he was accept. Amen. That's generic. Amen means any man. For a while out of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's a dead man. And it couldn't be the Holy Spirit, because he said, what I am. What I am, the Spirit. Christ was making out his will when he died. They didn't go about carrying out that great worldwide commission until after Son of God ascended to glory, despite the Holy Spirit that guided him into all truth. His teaching was by the Holy Spirit and accused them of making a mistake. It's not to accuse the apostles, it's to accuse the Holy Spirit. But man will stand up and accuse the Holy Spirit of making a mistake. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. No way of entering the kingdom. No one can be saved out of the kingdom, because we find that Christ, being according to the first chapter, Colossians, the 13th verse, who has delivered us from the power of God and translated us into the kingdom of this son. At the end of the kingdom, in order to be saved, and in order to enact, he must be born of water. Give me some proof, ladies and gentlemen, that that's not literal water. Water of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, thank you very kindly. Only 1 minute. So, I want you to keep these things in mind. Number one, that was one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. And I hope my point will give us to understand. Since Paul said that is one baptism, points out that is water in the next chapter, the 25th verse, then we want him to explain who's mistaken about this. Paul said that is one and pointed out as water. And this was stated 23 years after the last case of Holy Spirit baptism, which took place in AD and 41. Thank you very much.
I am Henry C. Kennedy of the Institute of Memphis for Research, the Divine Institute of Memphis for Research. We are holding our classes on Western and between 6th and 7th school. I would like to say, first of all, in clarification of my position, I have the supposed to be negative side of this debate. And I will read it to you as Brother Hogan did. Well, I read both of them so that you get resolved that the scripture which is Brother Hogan read them. Resolved that the scripture speaks that baptism in literal water of the penitent believer is essential to his salvation in this present dispensation of grace from past or dying sins.